From the studios of NPR West, this is Day to Day. I'm Madeline Brand.
I'm Alex Chadwick. Body burden, that is a term used to describe the level of sometimes toxic chemicals we carry in our flesh and blood. The term is used by public health advocates who raise alarms about the risks posed by plastics and pesticides and even hand creams. There's a new report today from some of these groups, and we'll begin the show today learning what it means and why some experts say interesting, but turn the alarm down.
And one reason for that, the study group in this case is very small. 35 people from 7 states were tested for 3 kinds of toxic chemicals. They include substances called phthalates and a group of chemicals commonly known just by their initials, PBDEs. They are in everyday products from toys to textiles to shower curtains to lipsticks.
A California-based nonprofit group on environment and health, Commonweal, led this report. Cheryl Patton heads what's called the Commonweal Biomonitoring Project to measure chemical contamination in the human body. Cheryl, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be here.
What are these chemicals that you've tested for, and what are they used for?
We've tested for 3 sets of chemicals. One is phthalates. Phthalates is the chemical that's added to plastics to change the texture. And you'll find phthalates in soft plastic like shower curtains or metal tubings. It's also used in cosmetics and personal care products. It's a scent stabilizer. We tested for a flame retardant called PBDEs. These chemicals are used in couches and fabrics as a flame retardant. And we tested for bisphenol A. Bisphenol A is a substance used to harden plastic, and you'll find bisphenol A in polycarbonate water bottles, those hard, clear plastic water bottles, and it's been used to line teeth to prevent cavities. Now, phthalates are linked to a variety of health outcomes, for example, infertility, and women have higher levels of phthalates in the urine when they give birth to baby boys with lower levels of testosterone, and so they'll probably have problems becoming daddies once they get older. PBDEs are related to neurological problems, and bisphenol A has been linked to, and these are lab animals, linked to precancerous conditions, breast and male genitalia, also linked to diabetes and linked to behavior problems.
What exactly are these tests? Because you say in your report that only a few hundred people have had these tests done and then been told about the results.
These biomonitoring tests test the levels of industrial chemicals or man-made chemicals in human tissue or fluid. And then we take advantage of that information and let people know about what those levels actually are in their bodies, and that helps them think about personal choices or political actions they may want to take. Now, interestingly enough, as you probably know, the Centers for Disease Control has tested average Americans, issued three reports for a number of years now, has given some very interesting data, but they don't tell the people they test what their levels are. But we think it's very important information for people to have.
Well, you tested 35 individuals, which, again, is not a very large study, but what do you find?
Well, we found that all of those 35 individuals had levels of chemicals in their bodies, the kinds of toxic chemicals that we find in everyday products. And we think that's seriously wrong, that these chemicals should have no business being in people's bodies.
And what levels do you find? Is there an average level for these 35 people, or what could you say about that?
Well, the levels we're finding are pretty much in line with the levels that the CDC is finding. So they're not extraordinarily high or extraordinarily low. We're dealing in various low levels of these chemicals, but we are dealing with levels of chemicals that are known to cause harm in animals.
You're saying that the level of chemicals in the human body, if you test a rat or a cow or something with equivalent levels, these chemicals will produce bodily changes?
That's exactly what I'm saying, Alex, that the levels of these chemicals that can cause harm in animals is the levels we're finding in the humans we've been testing.
So what's the relative danger of these chemicals? What are you saying?
Now, it's very hard to characterize risk, and let me tell you why. First of all, these chemicals are active at very low levels, but timing itself is also very important. Children are very vulnerable. Developing fetus is very vulnerable, and there are windows of, during times of critical development when a hit of a chemical can be much more damaging than other times. You always have to take timing itself into consideration.
Cheryl Patton is Director of Health and Environment Programs for Commonweal. Cheryl, thank you. Her group is the author of Is It In Us Now?, the new report on chemical contamination in our bodies.
Elaine Nekritz volunteered for the study. She's a state representative from Illinois. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Madeline.
Now, you were tested for phthalates and PBDEs?
And bisphenol A.
And bisphenol A. And what did they find in your body?
What they found was that I was a pretty average American for the level of each of those that I have in my body, but that there is a significant presence of those in me. Americans do tend to have higher rates of these things than almost anybody else around the world.
So when you got your results, what did you think?
Well, I wasn't very surprised because I sort of expected that they would find these things in me. I've been doing a lot of work here in Illinois on chemicals policy. So I expected that there would be these things in me, but it is sort of disturbing when you see it in black and white staring you in the face and saying you've got these really unwanted chemicals in your body and you don't really know, we have no evidence to say what they're really doing to us.
And how did they get there?
I think they get there through everyday consumer products. I have couches in my home. I sit on them. I have computers and televisions. I use lip balm and all kinds of products. And they're in all these things, but they're not labeled. And we as consumers can't really make choices about whether or not we want to buy products with these chemicals or without them because there's no way of knowing.
And I guess we as consumers also have a problem in that if they are ubiquitous, as you say, even if we know where they are, we can't really do much about it, can we? Because, I mean, we have to live our lives.
That's right. And since there's no labeling and there's no way of really knowing, and there are some websites you could check out to get some information, but it's really hard. And as a person who, you know, we all lead busy lives, I do myself, and so I don't really worry too much about the products I buy. I just try to buy the best things I can that work for me and hope for the best. So it's really hard to get information about it and to make different choices.
Well, someone listening to this, I mean, should the average listener be alarmed? Should they be worried now that every time they put lip balm on, they're injecting themselves with harmful chemicals?
Well, I think there's cause for alarm, but I think that the focus should be less on how do we as consumers make different choices versus how do we get our policymakers and our government to better protect us on these things. There are things government can do. We haven't updated our chemicals policy at the national level in over 30 years, and we all know how science and technology has advanced since the mid-1970s. So we as consumers, I think, can speak out to our government officials to say we'd like some investigation and we'd like some change.
Well, you are a government official. You're a state representative in Illinois. What are you doing about it?
Well, I've worked for the last 3 years on a piece of legislation to ban the flame retardants, the PBDEs, here in Illinois, and we're continuing to work on that. We face it's a pretty difficult uphill battle, although Washington State and Maine have both recently been able to do that, and we're hoping Illinois will also be one of the first states. We're also going to be considering a broader piece of legislation this year to address these chemicals in a more comprehensive way because it's with literally tens of thousands of chemicals out there in consumer products, it's really almost impossible to go after them one at a time.
Elaine Nekritz, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
We've looked for some help to put this study in perspective, so we're joined now by David Ropeek. He's a former journalist and the author of the book Risk, a practical guide for deciding what's really safe and what's really dangerous in the world around you. David Ropeek, welcome to Day to Day, and what do you conclude from this study?
I don't think any one study can give us conclusions. This one contributes to a growing body of evidence that we all carry around in us trace amounts of chemicals that were made by industry that we weren't born with. The problem is that when scientists try to actually figure out what that means for our health, what the risk is, they have a formula that basically is exposure times hazard. So exposure means we're exposed to it and how much, and we have exposure. It's in our blood. The problem is it's times hazard, and the hazard is what does it do to us, in what ways, at what point in our lives, at what doses. And as I understand it from former colleagues at the Harvard School of Public Health and the Department of Environmental Health, the evidence on what these low doses do to us is in some places building and in other areas sketchy or practically non-existent.
Well, it's this level of risk that's so difficult to ascertain. And when people listening to this program hear that the studies come out and the author of the study says, look, an equivalent amount of these chemicals in laboratory animals do produce troubling results, what do you say to that?
My understanding of the animal testing is that the evidence is not quite so unequivocal that at these doses, even in animals, much less in the more complicated world in which we live, it's quite sketchy. Let me give you a quick example. Bisphenol A, which is in plastics like our plastic milk containers and so forth. If you have a mouse mom that's pregnant, she has like 12 or 13 pups in a room. If you expose them to bisphenol A, there are changes in the masculinity of the males who are born, their fertility and so forth. But it turns out that the same thing can happen without any BPA exposure if the male is simply next to two males or next to two females in the womb. At these low doses, it's really hard to control for every other little tiny factor and say for sure it's the chemical that's causing it. So it's just up in the air. It's not as unequivocal as some people say, but it's certainly a cause of concern and a call for more investigation, I would say.
And David, how many of these studies do you see in a year, and how do you figure out which ones matter to you?
No one study, or even 10 or 100, can absolutely say that A causes B. So each study should be considered a brick in the wall of evidence. Now, the question is, on each study, how strong a brick? Well, as I understand it, this was 35 people. That's a small group over seven states. That leaves 43 out. You also have to account for what time period their blood and tissue was sampled, because our exposures go up and down depending on the season. But we should all just keep in mind that when any scientific study comes out on anything, it's only one piece of evidence, not the defining answer.
David Ropeik is the author of Risk, a practical guide for deciding what's really safe and what's really dangerous. David Ropeik, thank you.
Thank you, Alan.